Good afternoon. We are certainly grateful again to be in the house of the Lord, and we're thankful that we're able to come to you via the internet and Facebook. And so let me first greet all of you in the name of the Lord. It is good to be alive. I know that every day above ground is a good day, and because the Lord woke us this morning and has given us yet another opportunity to be in his house of worship as well as in his word. And we know we want our God's word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We're grateful to having young pastor Perseus Poku, I call him Pastor Poku, teaching for us on last week. We had a small family emergency last week that we had to make some maneuvers, and so we're grateful for our brother Perseus stepping in and sharing with you on last week. This week, we want to conclude our series out of Daniel, and those of you who've been following along with us know that we've been talking about out of Daniel this theme, unshakable, how to thrive no matter what life throws at you. Very good. Good study that we've gone through. We're going to conclude here at this ninth chapter. A couple of weeks ago, we dropped into it and got to the first couple of points out of the outline. It was so deep and so rich, we could only get through a couple of those points on the outline. So today, our goal is to conclude that outline. Outline number 9, and which was entitled "The Kind of Prayer God Answers," or whether we want to look at it this way, how to pray in a crisis. So that's where we are, and so let's pray together, and we'll jump right into it. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you so much. We thank you certainly because of your goodness and your grace and your mercy, and your loving kindness. You are a good, gracious, kind, and awesome God. We are not ashamed to say that. We give our total allegiance to you, being our God, and we're grateful that we are your people. You said that we could call on you. And in particular, God, we call on you as we study your word. We pray that you open our eyes that we might see truth. And we pray, God, that you help us to be good soldiers of the cross as your word becomes a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Use me as only you can by the power of your Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross that they may see none of me but all of thee. And we pray that you would let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. We love you, Lord, and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Listen, those of you who were with us a couple of weeks ago know that we jumped into this ninth chapter of Daniel. When you read further on in the ninth chapter, we'll talk about it later on. It gets into prophesying and prophecy about the future of Israel and the end of times. And when Daniel highlights these, what is called 70 weeks, that in and of itself is its own Bible study. We might let the great theologian Perseus Poku come teach about the 70 weeks out of Daniel. And we'll get into that just briefly, but not a whole lot. But that's not the point of this lesson. This lesson today is the ideal of what we shared last couple of weeks ago about the kind of prayer that God answers. And when we came to this ninth chapter, we recognized that Daniel is now 85 years of age. He had been reading Jeremiah's writing, studying the scriptures, and found out that as he was reading that God told Jeremiah about Israel and their captivity and when and how it was supposed to come to an end and all of that. And so So Daniel begins to pray. He begins to pray and seek God. And so Daniel's in a crisis. He's at a place now where as he was studying and reading Jeremiah, that he gets to the place where he wants this captivity to end. He wants to go home. He's been faithful serving these pagan kings and being faithful to God all the while. And now he's 85. Met him at 15, coming into captivity. And now he's 85, served quite a long time, and God promoted him time after time after time after various challenges that were in Daniel's life. And so Daniel comes to this place in chapter 9 to where he's pleading and talking to God about the end of this captivity and what's going to happen. So I want you to read it. Make sure you read it for yourself. So we talked about, you know, Daniel's at this pivotal point in his life. And we talked last week, a couple of weeks ago, about the kind of prayer that God answers. The first thing that we shared with you we took our time to walk through was that the kind of prayer that God answers, if you want God to answer your prayers, we learned this from Daniel, is that we got to let God speak to us before we speak to him. In other words, what you see in that verses 1 and 2 of Daniel, Daniel says, Daniel was studying the scriptures. I was studying the scriptures. And watch this, I learned from the word of the Lord as recorded by Jeremiah. In other words, God has already spoken to us. And there are certain precious promises in the Bible. And a lot of times what we have to learn how to do is how to pray the promises of God. He has already outlined for us certain promises that he has given us, and he's already spoken to us on a number of things. And, you know, we love God because God first loved us. Hello, somebody. We love him because he first loved us. So the ideal that we want to make sure is that when we talk to God and praying to God, make sure that we are in the scriptures and that we are praying what you know God has already said. We gave you that verse out of John, the 15th chapter, verse 17. Verse 7, I said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what you wish, ask what you will, and it will be done. The conditions of that we talked about, staying connected to God and God's word staying in our heart. Those are the conditions we got to look at. God says, I'll answer your prayer. He says, I want to answer your prayer. He says, but he wants us to abide in him and his word abide in us. When we're in his word, we a lot of times the Bible says out of the book of James, the reason why we don't have what we ask is because we asked amiss. We don't know the will of God in certain things that we're asking. And one of the ways to know that is that we abide in his word. We gotta abide in him and abide in his word. We gotta stay in the word. So the goal is to let God speak to us before we ever speak to him. He's already spoken. So the ideal is stay connected, stay in the book, stay in the word. And as we pray today, let the word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Paul tells Timothy, I think Peter says, desire the pure milk of the word that you might grow thereby. We gotta desire the word of God. So that's the ideal that we gave you on that conditions there. And then we talked about two factors as well. Out of verse, Jeremiah was saying this, you'll be kept in Babylon for 70 years. This is what Daniel's reading. But then you'll keep my gracious promises and to bring, then I'll keep my gracious promise to bring you back to your home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, plans, not plans for your disaster. My plans will give you hope in the future. In those days, you will pray and I will listen. God says, look, My timing is I'm going to do this thing in 7 years, but also along with God's timing comes our prayers. That is the ideal. Two factors is there. God wants to do things for us, but he also wants us to call on him and pray to him and ask. That's why the Bible says you have not because you what? Ask not. Yeah, we have not because we ask not. God wants to do it, but it's coupled with his timing as well as our prayers to ask. So we got to let God speak to us before we speak to him. And then number two, we talked about we got to focus our attention on God. Daniel says in Daniel verse 3. He says, so I turned my face to Lord God, seeking him. I turned my face. He focused his attention on God. Here he is, 85, wanting this captivity to end, wanting to go back home to his homeland. He prays, allows God to speak to him, finds out that there's a timing of 70 years, and they're there at that place, and God, he's seeking God on this. And the Bible says he turns his face. I like that. I turn my face to God. How do we turn our face to God? We can do it physically. You can look up to God. You know, that's the ideal. It's a spiritual separating ourselves and getting along with God. And that is turning our face to God. I like the new American Standard that says, so I gave my attention to the Lord. I didn't allow myself to be distracted from anything, by anything else. I gave my complete attention to God. It reminds me of when my children were little. They would say, Daddy, look at me. Daddy, look at me. And so if I wasn't looking, they'd come and move my face. They'd move my face so I would be focused right on them. And, you know, that's what Daniel's saying. You know, we got to turn our face to God. We got to give our attention to him, especially if it's something that's so important to us that it is causing us to pray. We got to give God our full attention. Hello, somebody. We got to focus our attention on God. We got to learn how to look up and talk to God and tell God what's going on. This ideal, and he says, I sought him, I was seeking him. And we know the verses that we quoted to you last week a couple of weeks ago on this ideal of seeking the Lord and the benefits of seeking God. And, you know, we want to hear what God says, but we also have to seek God. We have to go after him with our whole heart. Amos chapter 5 verse 4 says, seek me and you will live. Literally talking about you finding God. You want to know what real life is? You got to seek God. That verse out of Proverbs chapter 8 verse 17 that says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me will find me. If at all we are seeking God with everything we got, God says, you'll find me. You, if you're really sincere about looking for me or seeking me in an area of your life, you're going to find me. That's what he says out of Proverbs. Remember Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 says, you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. With everything you got, you'll find me. And then Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, God rewards those who earnestly seek him. Earnestly. We're serious about finding the will of God in a certain situation. You're not playing with it if you're really seeking God for an answer on a certain thing. And so that's what Daniel says. I turned my attention, I turned my face toward God, and I sought him. I was seeking him. I wanted to find what his will was for this whole thing. And then you all know Luke chapter 12, verse 31. Seek first the kingdom of God before everything else, before all this other stuff. And all the other things will be given unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. This seeking is ideal of how bad How bad do we want to hear from God in a certain area of our life? And we want our prayers to be answered. We got to seek God. And this ideal of seeking, remember the verse in the Bible that talks about seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. Seek and knock and ask and it shall be given unto you. That ideal is a continual seeking, continually knocking, continually asking God. That's what it means. Keep knocking, keep knocking, keep knocking, keep knocking, keep knocking. I mean, keep on doing it. Are you listening to me? Don't stop, you know. And that's the ideal that Daniel is trying to suggest to us, that we want our prayers answered. We want to know how to pray through a crisis. The ideal is that we are going to seek God with everything we got. We're going to seek him with our whole heart. Don't seek wealth. Don't seek fame. Don't seek pleasure. Seek God. Are you listening to me? Why we may be in so much pain over our situation right now is because we didn't seek God. We stepped out there on our own and did it the way we wanted to do it. Are you listening to me? And we did not seek his guidance. We didn't ask, God, should I, you know, we're about to buy this house. God, should I buy this house? Or, you know, God, should I take this job? And, you know, that's important. That's important because I know you got to know that it's God's will, even for the jobs that we take. When I was asked to come back to St. Paul years ago, there were a couple times I declined because I knew it wasn't time for me to come back to St. Paul. God didn't tell me that. And I was asked over and over again by others, and you know, when you're coming home and all this, it wasn't the will of God for me to be back here in Sacramento at St. Paul. And it was only until I heard the Lord say, it's time, I need you to go back home. So that's the only reason I'm here, because I sought the Lord on that whole situation. And, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but all I know is that for now, this is where I'm supposed to be. Amen. But, you know, a lot of times we get ourselves in trouble because we don't seek God. We step out there and do our own thing. And Daniel says, I love it. So I turned my face to God, seeking him. And so that's the ideal. We want prayers answered. Listen, we got to seek God. We got to turn our attention to God. Let God speak to us first. And then another thing is we got to focus our attention on God. Listen, the third thing that I want to give you, and that is this, and I think this is where we left off last couple of weeks, and that is this. And so if you didn't get all of that, there's a whole lot more to those first two points. Go back and look at the broadcast, and you'll get those first two points. Third thing that I want us to look at is that if we want our prayers to be answered, if we want to learn how to pray in a crisis, we got to express our desires. Put that in that blank. Express my desires with emotion. Hello, somebody. When I want to ask God for something and pray about it, God, I need this, whether it's physical, material, spiritual, or emotional need, whenever we're asking God in prayer, it is best to express our prayer with some emotion. Many of our prayers are just cut and dry. You know, even our night prayers, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I have no emotion in that. That's just cut and rote and all of that. Also, you know, when we get something to eat, you know, Lord, I thank you for this food that I'm about to receive for the nourishment of my body. For Christ's sake, amen. Sometimes we say, bless the hand that made the food and bless, you know, all that. You know, we say stuff by rote, no real emotion in it. And listen, the truth of the matter is that when we pray to God, We got to pray. You know, I remember we used to pray them these rope prayers. You know, Lord, here I is again. Knee bow and body bent. Knee bent, body bow. Lord, I thank you that last night wasn't my last night and that my kibbeh wasn't my winding sheet. You know, but we used to say that. And sometimes them deacons would pray that prayer, just tear up the church. but the truth of the matter is, there's got to be some emotion in it because, you know, when we say stuff, you know, talking to other people, we really mean it. There's got to be emotion. When I asked my wife to marry me, you know, if I didn't have no emotion, would you marry me, Lisa, please? No, I mean, you know, how much would she be like, what? Are you serious? That's how you going to ask me to be your wife? You know, no, we got down on one knee throughout the ring and, you know, wanted the music playing and, you know, baby, you know, come on now. We threw some sentiment behind it. You know, wasn't no playing with that. And then, yeah, same way it is with God. We got to come with emotion. We are created in the image of God, and God expressed himself a lot of times in the Bible with emotion. The Bible talks about God being happy and sad. The Bible talks about God being angry, the anger of the Lord. And he gets frustrated and jealous. He talks about him being, I'm a jealous God, especially when we put other things before him and we love other things more than we love him. We love things. We love cars and cash and creature comforts above him. The Bible talks about God being a jealous God. And he says, I will have no other gods before me. That's emotion. And we're created in the image of God. And, you know, we got to learn to express our desire that we're praying about with some emotion. Listen, dying on a cross, Christ dying on the cross was an emotional scene. Think about it. You know, there he's on the cross dying for the sins of the world. But look at the emotion and the passion behind that. And he looks up and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he looks down at his mama and looks down at John and says, John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. I mean, come on. That's a lot of emotion right there. And I'm sure Jesus, Mary's looking up, crying and thinking, and all of the disciples are looking at this dark hour. The sun goes drear. Come on, somebody help me. And it's an emotional thing. And if we don't see that, there's some emotion attached to the way God is. When God says he loves us, he proved it on that cross. If you don't know how passionately and emotionally God loves us, all you got to do is look at the cross. Hello, somebody. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith that I received my sight. And now, watch what he says, the songwriter, I'm happy all the day. There's emotion there. Are you listening to me? And the truth of the matter is, we want to make our request emotionally. Don't just pray little prayers when you need to read a little prayer and there's no emotion to it. Listen, does the tone of what we say and how we say it make a difference? Yes, the tone and how we say makes a difference. Somebody tickling you, you know, you say, you know, please stop, you know. And no, when you getting tickled, when I used to tickle my kids, no, daddy, please. Oh, daddy, please stop. Don't tickle me no more. You know, they didn't just go, don't tickle me, please, sir. I'm trying to do my homework. Leave me alone. No, they didn't do that. Oh, please, daddy, stop. They kick it. Please, no more. I can't do it. You know, that's what I'm trying to tell you. You got an idea. It's the emotion. It's that's got to be attached to this. And listen, it's like us saying, God, I really need this. Watch what Daniel says. Daniel says, here it is, I began pleading with God earnestly in prayer. Look at that word, pleading. I began pleading with God. It's not cut and dry. He began to ask God with some emotions, not some emotional, not some mundane request. That word in the Hebrew is bekwash. It means an emotional request in the Hebrew. It's an emotional, I'm pleading with God. I'm begging God. Are you listening to me? And it's almost doing a James Brown. Please, please, please. Amen. Where is James Brown when you need him? Hello, somebody. Begging, pleading. And it's got to be with some emotion. You got to put your emotions behind it, because you're letting God know how emotional it is, this thing that you're praying about, you know. And we got to learn how to do that. Reminds me of this little kid at Christmas time who wanted this Star Wars watch. And so he kept asking his mom, "Mom, I want this Star Wars watch. Daddy, I want this Star Wars watch." And so finally they got tired and said, "Son, if you keep asking me for this watch, you ask one more time and you will not get it." So the boy decided he's not gonna ask no more. He just gonna hope that he get it, and so he's not gonna ask anymore. And so one that night, after a while, they were sitting at the dinner table, and so the little boy said, "Mom, Dad, why don't we just quote our favorite verses?" And so one of the child said, "Mine is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Another one quoted, "Jesus wept." That's the shortest verse in all of the Bible. And so this little boy decides he going to quote. He said, "Well, let me tell you my favorite verse. My favorite verse in the Bible is Mark 13, verse 37. It says, 'I told you once and I say it unto you again, watch.'" Listen, beloved, smart kid, but he was trying to pour his heart out, let them know what he wanted. And listen, when we talk to God, that's what we got to learn how to do. Watch the mess, how the message quotes it, that verse 4a, he says, I poured my heart out to God, bearing my soul. I poured my heart out to God, bearing my soul. I prayed, this is the English Standard Version, to the Lord my God, and made confession, saying, "O Lord," listen, "I poured my heart out to God." I poured my heart out to God. Hear me, beloved, and hear me good when I say this, beloved, because the truth of the matter is we got to learn how to do that. We got to learn how to pour our heart out to God. We got to learn how to pray to God in such a way to where he says, "I was bearing my soul to God." Whoo! I get that, beloved. There are things that I prayed for in my life where I literally had to lay on the ground and cry out to God in prayer. And I get it. It's almost as if it's like Jacob when he wrestled with an angel and he said, I'm going to hold on until you bless me. I won't let go until you bless me. You get that? Have we ever stood there with God, pouring our heart out to God, our soul out to God, saying, "God, I can't move to the right or to the left until you bless me, until you give me an answer to this thing." And we're crying out to God. Listen, beloved, I know you have. You prayed that prayer, and I can tell you when's the last time you prayed that prayer. I can tell you as your pastor, I can tell you as your spiritual guide, when the last time you prayed a prayer like Jacob, "Lord, I ain't gonna move, I ain't gonna move till you bless me." I can tell you when. I know when. It's when you were in pain. Hello, somebody. When you were hurting and where there was something going on in your life that that was absolutely out of your hands, and you had to, I know it was, but I don't know what had to do with finances, had to do with your marriage, had to do with your health. You cried out to God and you said, "God, until you answer me, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to keep on praying about this thing." Because listen, beloved, pain has a way of driving you to pour your heart out to God, of seeking him with everything you got. Listen, I know, listen, I'm trying to help somebody right now. You're dealing with some issues in your life right now that is causing so much pain in your life, so much turmoil in your life, and you're trying to figure it out and finance yourself out of it. You're trying to go here and there and go to other people in other places. You better cry out to God, and you better hear what God has to say to you. Hello, somebody. And sometimes you got to hear God, and sometimes God will send you somewhere to talk to someone, hello, so that you realize you're not in the thing by yourself. Now, why would he say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? It didn't mean that God is just going to be with you always. It means simply that he would never leave. But he also sends us to people to help us. See, we think, well, God never leaving me is just me and God. And it is. It is to some extent. But it also means that God sends you places as well to get help and to seek advice and to seek understanding and clarity and to be able to talk through some of the stuff that you're going through. Don't be so spiritual that you just throw it on God. And no, God sent other people. Now, I'm so glad that God sent some tangible people in my life to help me. Preach, Reese, I'm trying to do that because I'm trying to help you. You fighting and praying and praying and fighting and talking to God. And God say, go here and listen to what some godly wisdom has for you. And you ain't hearing that. Hello, somebody. You got to go to God. And that's important. I'm just throwing that in for free to help somebody who's listening. Don't be so heavenly minded that you know spirit, you know earthly good. Hello, somebody. Everybody needs help. So he prays, he pours his heart out to God, and he bears his soul. And you're dealing with something right now. You know, God doesn't just listen to complaints. He listens to crying. Hello, somebody. I remember when the children of Israel, tell the children of Israel, I've heard their cries. Woo! I love that. Tell children, I've heard their cries. God, it's like a parent hearing the children cry. I've heard them. Let them know I'm hearing you. And I'm about to do something about it. Are you listening to me? So we gotta learn how to express our desires with emotion. And that's what Daniel is doing. He's pleading with God. I'm an 85-year-old man. Listen, and I've just been studying your book, and I've read out of the prophet Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was telling me about, you know, how all this is going to come about, and Lord, I'm crying out to you. I would love to go home. I would love to go back to Jerusalem. He's crying out to God. He's pleading with God. He says, I poured my heart out and I bared my soul. That's got some emotion behind it. I really need your help, God. Are you listening to me? So, beloved, watch what Jeremiah says him. He says, then, this is probably what he's reading. Then my people will join together in tears to seek the Lord, and they will ask the way to Jerusalem. Listen, watch that. And they will start back home again. He says, my people are going to ask in tears. That's pain right there. They're going to ask in tears, with tears running down their eyes. Lord, I don't know my way back home. I don't know my way back to Jerusalem. I don't know how to get there. I don't know what's going to happen. That's what he said. That's a prayer for all of us. When we get lost, when we get out there, when we don't understand, Lord, in tears, we say, Lord, I don't know how to get back to where I was. I don't know how to get there. And what Jeremiah is suggesting is that they're asking and praying in tears because they don't know how to get home. They're asking God how to get back home. Do you get that? They're asking the Lord, I don't know my way, so you got to help me. What a prayer. Oh, what a prayer He says, what a prayer that is. They've been in captivity and they're trying to, they're those who want to get back home. And Jeremiah says, they're going to cry to me in tears. They're going to come to me. They'll join together in tears. Listen, can I ask you this? What in your life is so important that it'll make you cry, that it'll bring you to tears? Are you listening to me? Listen, that's kind of prayer God answers is listening and filled with emotion and desire, and we're focusing our attention on God. When we look at this world and all the stuff that's going on around us, and all this, when we're in this pandemic, one minute everything's good, the next minute things are not good, the next minute they're going through this different strand, and we're talking about getting back to normal and doing life a certain way, but. All this social injustice and racism and, all this black-on-black crimes and stuff that's happening within our society, is it enough to make you cry out to God? I hope so, beloved. I hope it is. I hope it gets us to the point to where we can't help but to call out to God. I've been praying for the Lord. I said, Lord, and there's certain things about that deals with the church that I've been crying out to God about. And when it comes to this, when I've been praying, Lord, help us to see the big picture. We get stuck on the small things. And the Bible talks about the little foxes that spoil the vine. We concerned about what choir is singing or who's playing, or who's leading praise, and all. I get that, and I understand, but that's not the big picture. The big picture is there's a world out there that doesn't know the Lord, and there are those who are dying without Christ, and we are a church sitting in the heart of an area that has been dilapidated and torn down and worn out, and we have to make the church accessible to the rich and the poor. We have to be able to accommodate and meet the needs of this present generation as well. And so my prayer is, Lord, we got to see the big picture, and that's enough to make me cry out to God. We got to be like Paul and say, whatever it takes, I'm going to get the witness of Christ out there no matter what. So that means if I've got to acquiesce and step back and let somebody else do it, I'll be willing to do that. If I'm willing to let go and so that others may be filled apart, I'm willing to do that. So there's a bigger picture out there than just the color of carpet and other stuff that we see on the exterior. So it's causing me to cry out to God. And I'm not just talking about St. Paul. I'm talking about the church in general. Are you listening to me? So the ideal is what will cause you to join together in tears. That's what Jeremiah said, and asked for the way back home. Here's the fourth thing that I want to give you, and that is this. Not only when you talk about your prayers being answered, that you want to let God speak to us before we speak to him, not only do we want to focus our attention on God, that's what Daniel said, but we also want to express our desires with some emotion. It'll bring you to tears. This is something that means a lot to you, and you're praying about it with some emotion. You're made in the image of God, and God expresses himself in emotional terms throughout the Bible. Are you listening to me? And number four, we have to demonstrate our seriousness. I got to demonstrate my seriousness. Watch what Daniel says in verse number three. He says, I started fasting and I went without food to show my sadness. He says, and I put on rough clothes and sat in ashes. This is sackcloth and ashes. This was the old custom of when you wanted to mourn or when you wanted to show that it was something serious going on in your life. You would put on rough clothes or sackcloth that was itchy and scratchy and all this stuff. And you would sat in ashes and you would mourn and weep and wail and all of that. But this idea of fasting, he says, I started fasting. And I went without food. I wanted to do that. Why? To show my sadness or to show how serious I was about this. And you already know what Jesus says. Some things come only through fasting and prayer. You are giving it to God and you are moving your all other stuff out of the way. That's fasting. I'm in food. Some folk can't fast from food, but you sure can fast from television. You can fast from them games on your phone. Woo, help me hear somebody. You can fast from a whole lot of stuff. And you can intermittently fast during with food. And I know some of us can't do that because of the medication you take. But you can fast from other things. And that's what Daniel said. I fast and I went without food. Why? Because he said, I'm serious about this thing. I'm praying to God, and I'm so serious about this thing that I'm going to separate myself for a moment from food. I'm going to separate myself a moment from my video games. I'm going to separate myself for a moment from friends and sometimes from people. I'm going to separate myself. I'm going to fast from television. I ain't going to watch my stories. All my children and One Life to Live are CNN and Fox News and all this other stuff that's driving us crazy. I'm going to fast from that. I'm not going to let that stuff get in my head. And it's all throughout the Bible. Before Moses received the Ten Commandments, he fasted. The Israelites fasted before many of battles. Hello, somebody. Daniel fasted in order to receive guidance from God. That's what we see in this text and other texts where Daniel says he fasted. Nehemiah fasted before the major building project. He fasted. You read that first chapter of Daniel. Daniel fasted when he had to go in and talk to the king and all of that. Jesus fasted right before his victory over temptation. Come on now, it's in the Bible. And that just lets us know, let God know that we are serious about the matter. Are you listening to me? The very first Christians fasted when they had to make some serious decisions. And so that says when we fast from certain things, and you, if it's that important to you, we got to learn that fasting is a way of us centering our mind on what God's will and purpose for a specific thing is. And so we're willing to separate for a moment and to hear from God. Are you listening to me? And you know, matter of fact, some of us need to fast from social media. Some of that stuff you putting on Facebook, you all not put on Facebook. Because everybody want to see your food. Hello, somebody. They want to see when you get mad at your coworker saying what you was going to do or would have done, but you willing to put it on Facebook, but you ain't willing to tell that person that themselves. Come on, somebody help me. So social media, we can fast from it. TikTok, amen. You can figure out the latest TikTok dance later on and post it, and Instagram and all that other stuff. But you can fast from social media. You say, I'm for 30 days, I'm going to stay off of this thing. And if there's something that you're listening or trying to hear God about, are you hearing me? I hope I'm helping somebody today. Because we're trying to get our prayers answered. So we got to demonstrate. So why do we fast? We fast on that outline. We fast because it shows our seriousness, how serious we are in a certain thing. The fifth thing on the flip side is that when we talk about getting our prayers answered and we talk about talking about praying through a crisis, the fifth thing is we got to thank God for his love and promises. Remember, I told you to let God speak to you. That's first thing. Let God speak to you before we ever speak to him. That's being in his word. And there are so many precious promises in his word that we got to learn how to begin to thank God for his love and for those promises. That's what Daniel did. He says in verse 4, then I said, Lord, you are great and awesome God. You always fulfill your promise of constant love to those who love you and keep your commands. Let me read that from the English Standard Version. In verse 4, he says, I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps covenants and steadfast love. Hello, somebody. With those who love him and keep his commandments. God has steadfast love. He has a love, beloved, that is constant and never wavering. He loves us. Not like our love. Come on, somebody, help me. Our love is based upon how you treat me. Yeah, I love you based upon how you treat me. And if you treat me wrong, I don't love you no more. Hello, somebody. God says, I love you, and my love is constant. It's steadfast love. Are you listening to me? And so here we are. You know, we got to live with that attitude of gratitude. Watch Philippians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. I think it's chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. Let me find it for you, where he says, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, where he says, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, watch this, with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Thanksgiving, when we're talking to God, don't worry about anything, one translation says. He says, but pray about everything. He says, watch this. He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that when we're praying, we're thanking God as well. Hello, somebody. We ought to live with an attitude of gratitude. Hello, somebody. We're praying and talking to God, pouring out our heart, and we've got to thank God for his love. Watch what he says. He says, you are great and awesome God. He says, I know that. You always fulfill your promises. Are you listening to me? In other words, he says, to those who love you and keep your commandments, even those who have rebelled against you, the Lord, you are merciful and you are forgiving. Wow. That's what he says in verse 9. He says, Lord, even those who rebel against you, you are still a merciful God. You are still, he says, you still are a forgiving God. Are you listening to me? The truth is, beloved, what we're praying when we pray that is that we got to be grateful that God is God and we're not. Hello, somebody. You're awesome, God. You are a great God. You are a forgiving God. Hello, somebody. And we are grateful that he's loving and he's forgiving, even though we haven't loved him like we should have. Are you hearing me? And even though we it's hard for us to forgive, we're grateful that he's a forgiving God. So we should give thanks. Thank God for his love and for his promises. And then number 6, you already know this one, confess. It is humbly confess my sins. Humbly, if we want, you know, my pastor in San Diego, Dr. Timothy Winters, gone on to be with the Lord, would always end his prayer with forgiveness of sin. He would never, any prayer he prayed, he would always say, with forgiveness of sin. I mean, he would just close it. And confession, we know, is good for the soul. It is, confession is good for every believer. That's why the Bible declares that if we will confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, if we will confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. So here's what Daniel does. He confesses. He humbly confesses his sins and the sins of Israel to God. Our confession is not for God. Our confession is for us and our humility, saying, God, you're right and I'm wrong. And we humble ourselves. That's why the Bible is clear. James says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Is that we got to humble ourselves. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so when we're confessing our sins, it ain't for God. God know we done messed up. It is for our own humility to know that we're saying to God, you were right and I was wrong. Hello, I violated your principles. I messed up. And I'm only talking to those who know they ain't perfect. Hello, somebody. But if you already perfect and you got it going on and you know how this story ends in your life, fine. I ain't talking to you. I'm talking to ones who know that we mess up on a regular basis by sin of omission and commission. We mess up and miss the mark. Hello, somebody. And so the ideal is to confess our sins. God, Daniel's trying to get his prayer heard. He let God speak to him. He focuses his attention on God. He puts some emotion behind it. Hello, somebody. And then he demonstrates the seriousness, but then he confesses the sins of both he and Israel. He didn't just say, we sin. Daniel said, man, I'm in that number too. Hello, somebody. Watch what he does. And, you know, we're asking God's blessing and with forgiveness and mercy and all of that. And when you talk about asking God when we talk about humbly confess, that word confess in the Bible, the word confess in the Bible, in the Greek, in the New Testament, is homo legeo. Homo meaning the same. Legeo is to speak. It is to speak the same thing about sin that God says about sin. It's homo legeo. I'm confessing that, God, you were right, I was wrong. When we confess our sins, that is to speak the same thing that God says about sin. Hello, somebody. That's the ideal. To confess. It's not just this, you know, we don't say a little mess up or a little weakness. No, I was literally wrong. Hello, somebody. It was sin and rebellion against you. You told me not to do it, but I did anyway. And that's the kind of prayer that God responds to. You're honest with God and honest with yourself that what happened was wrong. And that's what Daniel does. Watch verse 5 and 6. He says, verse 5 and 6, we have sinned and done wrong. We have rebelled against you and ignored your commands and rejected your laws. We have refused to listen to your servants, the prophet, who spoke your message to our kings and leaders and parents and to everyone else in our nation. He says, God, as a nation, we've sinned against you. Hello, somebody. That's what he says. We've made up our own morality. Get that. We rejected your laws. You know, he says we refused to listen to the prophets that told us time and time again, you're missing the mark. You're messing up. Your allegiance is not to God. You got your heart bent toward other things, and we refuse to listen. Hello, somebody. In verse 7 and 8. He says, we have brought disgrace and shame on ourselves because we've been unfaithful to you. You see that? This is true of all of us, including our kings and leaders and parents. He says, we messed up. We've been a disgrace to you, God. Listen, when we miss the mark, listen, we got to see the awesome responsibility that we have of seeing things the way God sees them. And listen to what Daniel says. He says, you brought us into this captivity and we're in this place right now because we disgraced you. We did not represent you like we should have. We've been unfaithful. Hello, somebody. Verse 10 says, we paid no attention to you when you told us how to live. Woo! He says, Daniel says, we didn't pay attention. We wasn't listening. We didn't pay attention. When you told us how to live the right way, you told us what was right and you told us what was wrong, and yet we did what we wanted to do anyway. Watch verse 13 and 14. We kept on sinning. You never giving you a second thought, oblivious to your clear warnings. So you had no choice but to let disaster loose on us, since we persistently and defiantly ignored you. That sums it up. Listen, in verse 16, it says, now all the other nations mock us. Whoo! Oh, where is your God now? Oh, I thought you all were, you know, God's people. Now you in captivity. Now you got all this stuff going. And here's Daniel praying, and he's praying, he's confessing all this stuff, and now we're being mocked by the other nations. Really? Sound like America to me, but okay, all right, I'll leave that alone. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. Amen, somebody. And so he's just saying, we messed this thing up. And so watch this verse 18 out of the New Living. Oh God, listen to me, hear my request. We do not ask because we deserve help, but because you are so merciful. Daniel says, he confesses the sin and says, I know we messed up. I know we missed the mark. I know we disgraced you. I know we didn't do what you told us to do. I'm confessing that what you said was right, we were wrong. We are homo legeo. We are saying the same thing you said. And God, I'm not asking you to let us go back home because we deserve to. That blows me away. What a prayer. What a prayer. What a prayer. Not because we deserve it, God, but I'm pleading with you, begging with you, based on your mercy, that you're merciful. If I could, I'd run around this building right now. God is a merciful God. Is that all right to say? He's a merciful God. He does not give us what we deserve. Somebody ought to shout right there. And so we can come to God, pray to God, talk to God, confess our sins, give him our whole attention. And listen, we serve a merciful God. Get that. God's response to Daniel, it says, while he was praying, watch that. Verse 20 to 23, while I kept on praying, I didn't just pray about it one time, and confessing my sins and the sins of my people and pleading with the Lord, suddenly an angel, Gabriel, y'all know Gabriel, he shows up later on in the New Testament as well. Listen, Gabriel, an archangel, appears to him in a vision, and Daniel says, I've been sent to help you understand God's plan. Woo! Help me hear somebody. The moment you began praying, an answer was given. Get that. And I am here to tell you, for God loves you so much. Get that. He says, God loves you so much. While I was praying, he says, and confessing my sin, he says, God showed up. While I was praying, angel showed up and said, I love you very much. What an important message that is for all of us. God says to all of us, I love you so much. I love you so much. I love you so much. Hello, somebody. He says, I love you so much. I knew you when you were born. I heard you when you were crying and praying, and I was there. I didn't leave you. Hello, somebody. I saw everything in your life that was happening, and I got a plan. That's what God tells Daniel. I've got a plan. I've got a plan. And that's where you get this 70 weeks at the verse 24 and on down to the end. He talks about being, he's literally highlighting in verse 26 when Christ is going to become the cut off. He says, I got a bigger plan than what you see. It is not just the plan to get you all back into Jerusalem, but this is a bigger plan to end iniquity and sin and transgressions altogether. So I'm telling you this because I love you. There's a bigger plan than what you see right here. And because you don't understand it all, see it all, and know it all, I'm just trying to let you know there's a bigger plan that I'm going to show you. This 70 weeks talks about the prophecy and what's going to happen in the future and all of that. God takes time out to talk to Daniel about his plan. What a mighty God we serve. Help me hear somebody. The truth of the matter is, beloved, God says that when we talk about it, God says that to us as well. God says he has a plan. Y'all know it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7:14, that is one of the most misquoted verses in all the Bible, because politicians quote it and promises to America. It's not a promise to America. It's not a promise to any nation. It is a promise to the people of God. And those people of God are in many nations. And he says simply this: if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, there it is, and pray, seek my face, we talked about that, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. He's talking his people, not to the nation, not to this nation or that nation or America. He talked to his people. If my people, and his people are in many different nations. Hello, somebody who are called by my name. Listen, beloved. He says, I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. Anybody in here in need of any kind of healing? I'm not just talking about physical healing. I'm talking about healing your mind, healing your heart, healing your body, healing your business, healing your finances, healing your relationships, healing your fears. Somebody's business needs to be healed. Somebody's family needs to be healed. Somebody's marriage needs to be healed. But he says, if my people, listen what he says, who are called by my name, you're identified by the Lord, by he calls your name. He knows that you're in relationship with him. He knows your name. And he loves you so much that he has numbered the very hairs on your head. He has numbered them, hair number one, hair number two, hair number three. He knows them. He has numbered them. And if you ain't got no hair, he know that too. Hello, somebody. He loves us intimately. He says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, he says, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he says, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Listen. We need the healing of God in our land. I think that's what Daniel was praying for, healing in the land and healing with his people. And he pleaded with God and cried out to God and expressed it with emotion. He wasn't playing with that thing. It wasn't, oh, now I lay me down to sleep, Lord. No, he was pleading with God for the nation of Israel to be able to go back into Jerusalem, their own homeland. And that's the same thing he tells us in 2 Chronicles. That if there's healing that needs to be done in our land, and we got to earnestly pray to God, quit playing as if this stuff isn't bothering us. Some of this stuff ought to make us cry, ought to push us. Nehemiah said that it was a burden to him, and a burden is something that you can't let go. When we see what's going on in this world and folk dying without Christ, living from day to day on the edge, willing to take their own life because there's no hope, listen, that ought to burden us. I wish somebody would help me. Ought to send us to the place to where he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, call on God, is what he's simply saying. Call on his name, call on my name, seek me with your whole heart about some of this stuff that's going on in our world and in our society. He says, then I'm going to hear from heaven. Then I'll hear from heaven. Then I'll forgive. And then I'll heal. I wish somebody would get this today. We want our prayers answered. This lesson will help us. And you want to talk about the end of the age and all that stuff. I'll let Perseus do that one day and describe the 70 weeks that Daniel talks about after verse 24 in the text. But here's the point I want to make. We want our prayers heard. Let's call out to God together. Let's earnestly seek the face of God for some of the serious issues that's going on in our society. I ain't talking about who's singing on the praise team. I ain't talking about the color of carpet. Hello, somebody. I'm talking about serious stuff that'll make us fast and pray, because the Bible declares that it is only by fasting and praying that some of this stuff is going to happen. So are we serious enough to call on God? All right, I done kept you too long. Listen, I'm done. Love this Bible lesson. Love this this whole unshakable series. And I pray that you've gotten something from this. And I pray that God has revealed to you some stuff that'll help you in your own spiritual walk with him, as well as help your local church that you said God sent you here. You said that. I didn't say that. You said the Lord sent me to St. Paul. Well, if that's the case, then there are certain lessons in here that will not only help you, but it'll help us as a church together. So in the coming future, some of y'all don't know, but I'll be going on vacation in August. Praise Jesus. Hello, somebody. Praise the Lord. I've been preaching and teaching consistently for almost a year now, laboring here at St. Paul. And this time, for pastor to take a vacay. Hello, somebody. I'm trying to keep the wife happy. I'm trying to move, all this other stuff. So I need a vacation to refresh. When I come back, we'll be talking about, we'll be going into a sermon series out of 1 Thessalonians. I want you to read that. If you could, read that. And we'll jump into that entitled, Until He Returns. What should the church be doing until he returns? And you'll hear more about that. We'll have guest pastors come in to preach to us and with us, and I'll give you an outline on that. Our own Perseus Poku will be teaching our Bible study while I'm on vacation. He's an able teacher, and I know that you'll be blessed. And I know you say, well, I know we got other teachers, but we're still in this pandemic, and we still got to keep things close to the chest for now. We'll be talking when we get back, and talking in the near future about reopening and what that looks like and how we're going to do that. There's committee and other stuff together trying to formulate what is the right way to do that. So I need you to keep that in prayer as we go forward. Love you, and I pray God's blessings upon the rest of your day, rest of your week, until we meet again on Sunday morning. Let's pray. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love you. Thank you for the life and the legacy of Daniel. Thank you for his commitment and faithfulness to you, even in the midst of unfaithful times. At 15, you took him out of his homeland, which is a tragic and challenging endeavor. And yet, here we look at 85, he's still faithful to you. We thank you that we saw how you promoted him from one stage in his life to the next. And we pray, God, that the spirit of Daniel falls on us. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be, in spite of all the challenges that we're faced with in this world. We love you, Lord, and we're not ashamed to say it. We give your name glory, honor, and praise for what you have done, what you are doing, and certainly, oh God, for what you are about to do in the lives of your people. Thank you for St. Paul. Thank you for the foundation that has been laid. We love you and give you praise. We're praying for the sick and the shut in. We highlight and lift up those that are suffering through this thing called cancer. We're praying for Brother Lamont and his brother and his mother, his brother going through what he's going through. We lift them up to you today, knowing that you are still the great physician. We love you, Lord. Give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and we shall see you. Amen. We had different angles on this camera. I'm learning this stuff. We shall see you again on Sunday morning. God bless you, and may the Lord be with you.